Church to Flavor Radio always does a special show each year for Drug Awareness Week. One year, we interviewed Steve Meredith from the Center for Addictions and Mental Health. He answered a lot of our questions about club drugs, which are also known as raver drugs and designer drugs.
Hello, Steve. Are you there?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, not too much.
So how are you doing tonight?
I'm really cold, but otherwise I'm fine.
Okay, we're going to talk. Just in case you didn't know, we're doing a show all about drug awareness.
Okay.
And we just want to talk about your experience with raving drugs, anything, any drug really, but raving drugs have been in the news recently.
Right.
All the different problems associated with that. If you want to, you know, just talk about that a little bit, your experiences.
Okay, yeah, I've been doing a bit of work in that area on club drugs is what we call them now. The important thing to realize about rave drugs is that they're not just being used at raves anymore. So they're being used at dance clubs and after-hours clubs, and they're being used by people in their 20s and 30s and 40s. And so it's really spread beyond the rave scene. It still is a big problem at the rave scene, and the reason it's such a serious problem is because raves are all-ages events. So that means like 14-year-olds can get in, for example, and people are really concerned that they have access to some of the club drugs that some of the older youth are using as well.
Hi, Stephen. This is Monica. I just wanted to ask, is that one of the main reasons why the city now is frowning upon raves and why they're being banned and why parents and teachers and, well, basically adults are, they're looking to raves as being all about drugs?
Yeah, I think there's a few reasons for that. And I think that adults are sort of are attacking youth culture because this is something that they're not familiar with. They don't know about raves. And even if they did use drugs when they were younger, they didn't use the, you know, ecstasy and ketamine and some of the drugs that are being used now. So there's a bit of demonizing youth culture, I think, that's happening. And an example of that is the rave inquest, the coroner's inquest that was held in the spring was really about an ecstasy death, but they made it about raves, even though many of the ecstasy-related deaths didn't occur at raves. So I think youth culture is being attacked somewhat. But there are serious concerns about the drug use that's going on, and many of the drugs are very risky that people are using. So there is reason to be concerned, for sure.
Hi, Dave. This is Calvin now.
Hi.
I know that in the 80s, the big scare with drugs was cocaine.
Right.
And right now, like, the media's attacking more of the rave stuff. So has cocaine, like, gone down, or is it still up there? Is there a lot of people using cocaine?
Well, people are still using cocaine and crack. And actually, experienced sort of club-goers who have been using ecstasy for several years have built up a tolerance, so they're not getting the same effect that they used to get with ecstasy. And some of them may even be combining it with cocaine. So coke hasn't been a problem. It's not a problem that's gone away at all. But there has been a dramatic rise in the use of ecstasy and some of the other club drugs. And I think that's contributed to the alarm because, ecstasy like 6 years ago wasn't being used at all, really, especially by high school kids. And we've seen a significant jump over the last few years. So I think, yeah, cocaine is still there, but the club drugs have made a strong push as well.
Just for some of the youth that are, like the teenagers in our age, this I guess for the 2000 year, and those who didn't hear about the whole cocaine part of the 80s, which I grew up in, where cocaine is the big scare and everybody's doing cocaine. Not everybody was doing cocaine, but like a lot of people were doing cocaine. Could you quickly say what are the effects of cocaine when people use it, like when they sniff it or something?
Yeah, cocaine is a stimulant, and it really speeds up the system. It gives people more energy. It gives people more confidence, but it's very short-lasting, and it's very addictive. So people that were using it are having serious problems with it. And crack is just another form of cocaine as well. And it's a really addictive drug, and it's because the high is so short-lasting, people take it, and then 50 minutes later they're wanting to take more, and they feel themselves going down.
Right.
So I would say it's really highly addictive, and it's more addictive than many of the club drugs that we're seeing now.
So I don't know if it's possible to make a comparison, but if you did have to compare the more traditional drugs like heroin, crack, and coke versus like today's club drugs, what would you say is more dangerous?
I don't know if I could really say. I think there's some significant differences, and I think particularly with heroin and cocaine are very physically addictive. So we see people really sacrificing a lot to sort of get their next hit. With the club drugs, they don't tend to be as physically addictive. But in all cases, there's risk of physical harm, and with almost all of the drugs there's even a risk of death, including the club drugs. So I mean, people are taking a great risk to do it, and there's different harms associated with all of them. Yeah, but the biggest difference is that the club drugs aren't as physically addictive as say, cocaine and heroin are.
Do they take them beforehand and then go to the raves, or do they smuggle them in? Why aren't there security measures being taken?
Well, they do all of the above, but even I've spoken with police officers who work some of the larger raves at the CNE, and, I mean, they pat people down on the way in, they empty all their pockets, and there's really no way to really prevent it from happening because the drugs are so small, and because ecstasy, for example, takes about an hour to kick in, so you could easily do it while you're in lineup. You know, you're just taking a small pill and swallowing it before you get to the door and before you're checked by security, so it's very easy to get past security at the door. It's kind of one of those things that it's like you can police it all you want. I don't think you'll ever be able to really stop it.
And you definitely feel it's making itself more apparent in the school system.
There have been increases in the school system over the last several years where ecstasy use among high school students, you know, was down around 1.6%, I think, you know, in around 95, 97, I think. And now it's up to about 6%. So it certainly is on the increase.
Now, you'd probably agree to this, that there's like a higher tolerance of drugs in society these days. More people are more accepting and progressive in their look towards it. So what would you say about that? Like, say, for instance, the Marijuana Party, who's a political party who advocates the legalization of drugs, or other groups that support the legalization and the use of drugs. What would you say to that?
Well, yeah, there is actually, there's an increased sort of tolerance of drug use. And I think when we did a recent study on student drug use in high schools, one of the changes we noted was the sort of change in attitude towards marijuana use, where people didn't see it as being such a rebellious thing, didn't see it as being sort of a really high risk, out of the ordinary thing. It was becoming very normalized for people. And so we noted a change in the attitude.
So what do you have to
and
say about
this?
And
otherwise, it's hard to say from my experience, because I work a lot with drug users. So in my world, I mean, drugs are very common, just in the sense of that's the population I work with. So, yeah, I mean, I think that... You know, it has the idea of people pushing for medical marijuana use and people pushing for legalization. You certainly didn't have that, 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, attitudes certainly are changing.
And what kind of prevention activities, I guess, are going on these days, like to combat the, progressive look on drugs?
Well, we just had, last week was Drug Awareness Week. So there are several events going on around the province. And, we're doing two things around sort of club drugs. I mean, there's still prevention to be done among people who aren't using yet, and then there's sort of harm reduction information for people who are using about sort of precautions they can take to use more safely. So it's a bit of a challenge because it depends on who you're targeting.
Right, right. Well, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it.
Okay, you're very welcome.
This is, once again, you're listening to Stephen Meredith from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you later.